Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that we have this opportunity to hear from you. I ask in the name of Jesus that you grant utterance, that I will speak as your oracle, that your word will go forth in simplicity but with accuracy and power, that our hearts will be established in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. All right, this evening I want to look at a subject, and we'll be doing this for 45 minutes, on the subject of what we're looking at is the potential that is found in the human mind as described in the scriptures. You know, getting born again, saved, we became new creatures in Christ Jesus. The fact that spiritual realities and the fact that we are spirit beings and that God is a spirit, and them that worship him must worship him therefore in spirit and in truth. And so we got established somewhat in the fact that we are spirit beings and that we have our spiritual identity in Christ. But I believe to a very large extent, the role of the mind in the life of man has not been properly laid bare before the Church of Jesus Christ. And because we haven't understood this tool properly and its usage, then even the advantages that we have in the realm of the spirit and who we are in Christ is not being seen as it should be seen. That is, theoretically, we speak about such a distinction between the new creature in Christ and the old man that the distinction is far and above, a position that is inaccessible to or by the old man. But then when we look at events playing out on the earth, then we need to ask ourselves, all right, the question whether this also becomes the thing that we are seeing. And I believe that the part of man's being that needs to be understood properly is the mind now and the potential that is within the mind. For that distinction which is on the outside, where the glory of God is visible in the life of a person, we will see clearly it comes as a result of the renewing of the mind. Because it says we shouldn't be conformed to this world. And even if we're going to have transformation in character, differentiation between us and the world, how will this happen? Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Let that differentiation there be evident. And how? Through the renewal of your mind. So we're going to see this. And also we're going to see that it tells us as we behold, all right, as you behold the glory of the Lord, as in a glass or mirror, we are transformed. That's that same word, transformed from one level of glory to another. And that transformation there, we're going to say it's by the renewal. So the levels of glory that are manifest in our lives in tangible form comes as a result of the renewal of our minds. So the difference in men really is in the function, all right? It's a function of their mind. It's not a function of whether the Holy Ghost is present in them. I'm talking about believers now. Because every believer has the Holy Spirit in him. It is a function about of their spirits. Now, we say that sometimes, but it's really not that. Because every born-again believer is a new creature in Christ Jesus. In him, all things have passed away, and these are spiritual realities. and all things have become new, and all things are of God. And the Bible does say in the book of Colossians that you are now holy. Then it says unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Therefore, if we are going to address the human spirit as it is, it tells us in the book of Hebrews, the spirits of just men made perfect. Where the differentiation is the function there of the mind. All right? The difference is in the mind when it comes to outcomes. A man is transformed, we have said this, by the renewal of his mind. It is through the mind, and I want you to hear this, all right? Might be shocking to some of you, but hear this and I'll show it from the Bible. It is through the mind a person overcomes the environment. Let me say this again. It's through the mind a person overcomes the environment. You know, how did man overcome, all right, the law of gravity through the mind? How did man overcome, all right, and was able to create things that will float on water? It's through the mind. How did man overcome many things around him? Through the mind. How are you seated in your house, or you are in your car, or wherever you are, and you are able to hear me, and those of you watching can see me in my own study, while you are in your own house, how did this happen? It's through the mind. All right? People were able to overcome distance, shorten distance, overcome things through the mind. The mind became the tool for this. Now, I'm going to show you how the Spirit participates in this, and how the Spirit functions. Because the real activity of the Holy Spirit first is expressed in our thought life. I'm repeating that again. The activity of the Spirit, of our spirit, is expressed in our thought life. In fact, when he says no man knows the things of a man except the spirit of that man which is in him, you go and read it. Is no man knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of that man that is inside of him. The distinction when it comes between heaven and earth. Isaiah said, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. The distinction between heaven and earth there reflected in thought life. All right? So, it is through the mind of a person that you overcome the environment, and I'll show this, and every obstacle in the paths of men. So when you go to different nations, and the nations are organized, some in more superior ways than others, that you look at it and it's desirable to live in that place, is the function of the minds of the people. And so when we even get to heaven and we see the glories of heaven, this is the function of the mind of God. And so we come into your own space, your home, your business. It's a function there of your mind. So men overcome through their mind, and I'll show this. This may be quite shocking, but let's look into what the Word of God says. In fact, what does this God, the God of this world, do? He blinds the minds of people. That's how he's able to establish power, lest the light of the glorious gospel should get into their minds. So he blinds that. Now, in Romans chapter 12 and 2, that we are looking at how people overcome, it says, don't be conformed. It says, in this world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, have overcome. How do you get to that point in practice? Now, I want to be very practical. All right, I spent enough time on this earth to talk theories. Okay? I can't spend the rest of my days on this earth just talking theories. We have to give people things that are applicable, of practical value, that they can put to work, and see what God has said in the word come to pass within their lives. That's why when a person is an epistle of Jesus, to be read and known of all men, where is the target? He says, "It is you are the epistle of Christ, written not on tables of stone, but on the fleshly tables of the heart." Where is that? In the book of Hebrews, it tells us, "I will write my laws in your mind." In other words, this New Testament, the target of the Father. He says, look, the old covenant, he found fault with them. Where was the fault? In their thinking. And said, I'm going to introduce a new covenant. And where is it going? He said, I will write my laws in their minds. And inside that, in what thoughts they are, I will place them. So he tells us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Or I be transformed by the renewal. The word renewal there comes from the same word which we get metamorphosis, where a person moves from the caterpillar or right to right and becomes the butterfly. So it's a change in the outward appearance and evident capacity to function. So if you look at the caterpillar and the butterfly, the outward appearances are different, which means the way the caterpillar looks is different from the way the butterfly looks. So if you look at it, there'll be a complete change in the outward appearance of a person when their minds are renewed. Their entire approach to things will change. Their method, all right, through which they get things done, radically changed. The way a caterpillar goes about things is completely different from the way, all right, a butterfly will go. Same life. But he has undergone what is called metamorphosis. And this is what the renewal of... Now, I'm not saying what we think the renewal of mind is. I'm talking about the renewal. I'm not talking about what we may have been told the renewal of the mind is. We are taking the thing for what the Word of God says it is. And let's look at it. And on the merit of the scriptures itself, where we interpret scripture with scripture. So it says there's a total change in the outward appearance. So not only will there be a change in outward apparent behavioral pattern, at the same time, the evident capacity to function. In other words, the butterfly's capacity there. It can fly. The caterpillar cannot. All right? So there's capacity there. You see this person able to get. There's efficiency. There's capacity, right, to function because there is what we'll call, right, the renewal of the mind there. In the life of that person. So there's capacity to function. There are also, and that's what the scripture says, you know, it talks about butterflies that fly, all right, metamorphosis, when you talk about that, but then it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall be renewed in their strength, and they will mount up with wings as eagles, which means they have changed their mode of operation, all right, and the energy. They mount up with wings as eagles. Now, what you've got to understand and what I want to look at is, now let's remove all the, just using religious terms. Now, it says, we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. That word change there is that same word metamorphosis. In other words, we are changed by the Spirit of God from one level of glory to another level of glory. Now, God cannot, is not confused, it's the same person. So if he says you are changed, or use that same word, transformed by the renewal of your mind, what therefore he's saying is, as we behold the image, we are changed into that image by changing our thoughts. So if God gives you a promise, we're going to look at this, and you are beholding that promise as looking through a glass, the mirror of the Word of God, in order for what you are looking at to be fulfilled, you are going to be transformed into that same image by the Spirit of God. And what the Spirit of God is going to do is to renew your mind. And he changes the thoughts that are within in order for you to enter into it. So one person says, it's impossible. It's not impossible. That person is simply saying, I have no access to the thoughts through which I will understand how these things are possible. That's all. Nothing is impossible. All right? The change the Spirit effects, therefore, is in the thought life of the people. And the way you change outcomes in a person's life from failure to success, all right, from the brink of divorce to a very happy marriage, is to substitute the thoughts that are inside the heart of that person. That's the way you do it. You substitute the thoughts. In other words, that same person that is failing can begin to succeed. If first of all, there is what you call clarity of vision. In other words, they are looking as in a mirror. They are looking at the image of where they want to go to and what they want to become. The image there is before them in God's word. So they have promises from God that are imaged right before them. And then the Spirit will change thoughts that are on the inside of them so that that image that they are seeing can become a reality within their lives. Now we'll see this with Paul when we get to Romans chapter 7. Paul at one point spoke about the fact that, all right, he was struggling. I know people say that, it's Romans chapter 7 was when he was under the law and he wasn't a Christian. I've said this before. I mean, why would Paul write Romans 3 and talk about the glorious realities of justification in Romans chapter 5 and talk about the most powerful truths about identification in Christ and then come to Romans chapter 8 and talk about the law of the Spirit of life and the manifestations of the sons of God? And he will inject in Romans chapter 7 in between those chapters when he was under the law. Even if he was saying that, for what purpose was he saying that? There was continuity in what he was saying. And he talked about here that I delight in the law of the Lord after my inward man, which means that there was something in his inward man. If his inward man was in sin, as we teach, all right, in the old man, then why is he delighting in the law after his inward man? And there's that desire to do that. But the point I'm getting to is that Paul was in a struggle here. Okay? For he was in a struggle. And what he said here was, I am carnal. He did not say he wasn't a Christian. He said, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal under the bondage of that thing, sin still. Carnal. And what does it mean to be carnal? Okay? It tells us in verse 6,